I'm the assistant director for the School of Evangelism, and I will be presenting this afternoon on public evangelism, how to reach the masses. And Sandra talked a bit about Christ's method of evangelism and reaching out to friends, and she'll be talking about reaching out to family, but we also have a calling to reach out to larger audiences. Public evangelism, which entails meeting people that we haven't, evangelizing to people that we haven't necessarily built up relationships yet with. And so we're going to talk about effective means of accomplishing that today, just as soon as this the PowerPoint screen is projected. I am. Hold on, let's try that one more time. Oh, okay. Okay. Hold on just a second. Just a second. Have you guys been enjoying camp meeting so far? You know, I recognize everybody's hot, and I think that's why everybody's somewhat sedated, but this weather to me is perfect. I do not complain when it's hot, because we could be shoveling snow. Amen, brothers and sisters? We could be shoveling snow with our fingers cold and sniffling, but the Lord has blessed us with sunshine. Pardon me? Okay, let's try that one more time. I've heard of snow in July in Alberta. I haven't seen it, but I've heard of it. Okay, here we go. So I'm going to bow and say a prayer, and this is a seminar. I'm not really preaching. So if you have questions about anything you're seeing presented, please don't hesitate to raise a hand. It's designed to be interactive, and I want to hear from you as we go through. So please bow your heads with me as we pray. Father in heaven, we thank you so much for this day. We thank you for the gift of life. We thank you for the gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ, Lord. And as we look at the opportunity to share that gift with other people, we pray in a special way that you'll be here this afternoon, Father. You said that the Holy Spirit will teach us all things. And we're asking in the name of Jesus that that divine spirit would be here today to teach us all things, Father, pertaining to how to reach your people in this day and age. Lord, we want to be relevant. Father, the Christian church is struggling, especially North America, is struggling with relevance, Father. And we want to know how is it that we are supposed to reach hearts and minds with your gospel at this hour. Please bless us with your presence, Lord. I know I need it, and I believe your children need it as well. So speak to us now, because we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. So the question we're asking is, how do we reach the great masses? Sandra's, as I said, going to be speaking to you about how to reach out to your family, how to witness to friends or, you know, people that you just met. But we also have the calling to engage in large public evangelism. And I believe one place where we can see the template for evangelism, or a template for evangelism, is found in Matthew chapter 12. We're going to look at something really, really interesting in the Bible that Matthew chapter 12 brings out. And it's one of the stories that Jesus experiences. And I'll just read from the text there. It says, "Then certain of the scribes and of the Pharisees answered, saying, Master, we would see a sign from thee. But he answered and said unto them, An evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall be no sign given to it but the sign of the prophet Jonas. For as Jonas was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. The men of Nineveh shall rise in judgment with this generation and shall condemn it, because they repented at the preaching of Jonas. And behold, a greater than Jonas is here." Now Jesus is making something very, very interesting out of an Old Testament story that most of the Jews were familiar with. But the question that I was asking when I read this was, why is Jesus contrasting himself as being greater than Jonah? Wouldn't he already have been greater than Jonah just having been the Son of God? Well, there's more to it, folks. The idea is that Jonah himself was very, very great in his own way. What was so great about Jonah? Well, Most people don't recognize this, but Jonah actually traveled the greatest distance in his story. When it says that Jonah went down to Joppa and then he was sent to Tarshish, Jonah was talking about the other side of the Mediterranean Sea. This is where Tarshish was, where he was going from the presence of the Lord. And Tarshish in those days was literally the furthest city away from where Jerusalem was here. So this was the furthest known city. It was 2,200 miles away, right? So when Jonah says, I'm going to Tarshish away from the presence of the Lord, he's literally going to, back then in the Jewish mind, what was considered the ends of the earth. He's like, I'm running from God, right? So he goes to this far location, and Nineveh is just over here, right? But not only did Jonah go the furthest distance, Jonah travels to the greatest city. There's an article in a book that tells about, it's an article by a book by the name of Largest Cities Through History. And at one point, Nineveh was literally the largest city in the entire world. When Jonah says it is when the Bible says that it was an exceeding great city of 3 days' journey, I thought that it meant it took 3 days to get to Nineveh. But what it actually meant is that it took 3 days to get through Nineveh. That's how large Nineveh was. So Jonah had he went the greatest distance, and he comes to the greatest city of his time, right? But not only that, Jonah comes back from the greatest danger. Nobody else in the history of mankind has it been recorded where somebody gets swallowed by a fish, swallowed in the water, and then comes back from that. And when you study Jewish tradition, a lot of Jews at the time believed that the devil lived in the bottom of the sea, right? So they literally believed that the devil lived at the bottom of the ocean. And so for them, it was like anybody drowning or falling into water, that was like one of the most dangerous situations you could put yourself into, right? Much less a man coming back from being swallowed by a fish. But what's more interesting than all of that, brothers and sisters, is that Jonah achieves the greatest results. There is absolutely no other instance in the Bible where results are recorded like with Jonah's, with the exception of one, but like when it comes to results. Jonah has 120,000 converts, brothers and sisters. Jonah's preaching elicited the repentance of 120,000 people in the city of Nineveh. Now, when you think of that and contrast that with other prophets, right? Can you think of like one thing that was said by Jeremiah that anybody listened to? Anyone? No. Jonah's ministry was considered a very, very powerful one, brothers and sisters. There's no other prophet that has such success as did Jonah. But when you compare that to Jesus, this is where Jesus is making the contrast. Because Jesus, while Jonah had traveled from the edge of Tarshish, almost 2,200 miles, Jesus traveled from the other side of the universe. While Jonah went to the greatest city at the time, Jesus came to an entire globe of human beings to save them. Jesus didn't come back from a fish's belly. He came back from death. And Jesus is going to have the greatest results at the end of time. Amen? And so we can see there that there's a similarity between the story of Jesus and the story of Jonah. And he makes a contrast that everything that Jonah does, he did much greater. But more than that, to every generation comes a sign that they should listen. And so the question is, what is the greatest sign to our generation? How can we gain the attention of our generation so that they see ministry as a relevant thing? Well, going back to the story of Jonah, there's something interesting about the story of Jonah. Because the Bible says that the Lord prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah, right? And it may sound like a random thing that the Lord's prepared a fish until you understand a little bit about the Ninevites. Does anyone know who the Ninevites worshipped? Exactly. The Ninevites worshipped Dagon, the fish god. And when you think about the significance there, brothers and sisters, that would have meant that literally Jonah was coming to there's some historians that say it would have been probably, Jonah probably would have been bleached white because he was in the digestive tract of the fish for 3 days. And so he would have been bleached white because of all the acids that were around him. So he comes out of the fish onto the beach. Maybe there were some witnesses who've seen it, and they're just like, their mind is blown. And then he's got like scales maybe all over him, and he smells like fish, right? So Jonah comes from this experience, and he comes basically to the city, and he says, listen, the thing that you worship, I've just come out of the mouth of it. The message that I have for you is so important that your God couldn't even stop me from delivering this message. So right away, the people in the city of Nineveh, the thing that they worship is, I guess, put below the message that Jonah has to deliver. And the significance and the relevance is there seen. And I believe God didn't do that by mistake, brothers and sisters. Do you? No. Amen? No, amen. Amen. All right. So I believe that God intentionally used one of the avenues of greatest concern. And so this got me thinking, what is one of the greatest avenues of concern for us here in Alberta? And so I jumped online and I did a little search. And what are some of the pronounced needs in Alberta? Well, according to Alberta Health Services, it says here that Alberta spends more per capita than the Canadian average on healthcare. But not only that, along with spending more money than anybody else on healthcare in Alberta, Alberta has a lower health-adjusted life expectancy than the Canadian average. Interesting, no? So when you put those two things together, by the way that Albertans are spending money, they have an interest in health, and by the way that the longevity is taking place, is being revealed, they would be interested in living longer. Now, when you put those two things together, brothers and sisters, the solution then would be a health message from the longest living people. Amen? And so this is one of the reasons why we engage in health evangelism. We believe that health evangelism, especially at Change School of Evangelism, we recognize that being relevant in evangelism, one of the most important things we can do is use health as the entering wedge. In fact, I sometimes don't call it the entering wedge, I call it the exiting wedge. Because it's one of those things that not only is going to allow us to enter into people's hearts, but it's what I believe is going to help us to finish this work and get the gospel to the entire world. Amen? And so there are some specific means of health evangelism that we engage in and that you can engage in at your local churches. There are cooking classes. Has anybody ever been a part of a cooking class? Anybody ever tried one? Okay. Just a couple hands. CHIP programs. Has anyone ever heard of the CHIP program? Okay, a couple have heard of the CHIP program. Depression recovery. Is anybody familiar with depression recovery? Okay, just a couple. All right, good. And health expos. Has anybody ever taken part in the health expo? Okay, just a couple as well. Well, I believe, friends, that health evangelism is more than just something that is an additive to ministry. It is something that empowers our ministry and makes it effective. And I'm not just saying that by theoretical knowledge, because I'm from the land of Quebec. From Montreal is where I hail. And although I consider myself an Albertan, I had the opportunity to spend some time in Quebec, and we did some evangelism in Quebec, and it was one of the hardest experiences you can ever imagine, brothers and sisters. Working in Quebec is—it's just so secular, and you do everything. We did all the different types of almost all the different types of outreach you could do, and we were wondering, Lord, why is it so hard? Why is it so difficult? You know, this is an evangelistic series that we went to, and some of the people there are church members, but very few Quebecers would respond to evangelism. And I was just like, Lord, why is this so difficult? And Quebec's a very interesting place, brothers and sisters, because this is an interesting fact, but the sanctuary articles are actually curse words in French, right? So what people use as curse words are the actual articles of the sanctuary. That maybe that's the one reason why we have difficulty teaching our message over there. But I'm a witness to that, to the fact that it's a difficult thing. Go ahead. The Catholic Church don't believe in the sanctuary message. No, well, most Quebecers are, I guess, not practicing Catholics. Yeah. So we saw that it was really difficult. And I was like, Lord, why is it so hard? And it blew my mind when I actually saw a quote explaining why it was so hard. Ellen White actually says, I saw that it was a much harder work to convert souls to the truth from the French than from the Americans. Surprise, surprise, right? But God always has a balance for things. And this is what he says, the rest of the quote. But it says, one Frenchman soundly converted is labor that will result in 100-fold. Brother Daniel Bordeaux, D.T. Bordeaux, and his wife worked and wept and prayed. They toiled hard. Some of our brethren ministers may have not known how hard, and many have cared less. I didn't copy the entire portion of the quote, but she goes on to say, when you win one Frenchman, it's like you've won 100 souls. It's like you won 100 souls, she said. And by God's grace, through the means that I'm sharing with you here, we had the privilege of seeing souls come to the truth, even in Quebec, brothers and sisters. Amen? So we're just going to look at some of these methods of outreach, and I just wanted to share some of them with you. Right now at the School of Evangelism, we're doing health expos, but I want to point out one of the major ones that I think we should be doing here in Alberta. Does anybody know what the leading cause of death here in Alberta is? Anybody want to guess? Lives, what was that? Farming and livestock, death by hard work, is what do you mean? Oh, accidents with animals, interesting. Farm-related accidents, okay. According to Alberta Health Services, that's not it. Anyone else want to guess? Heart disease? No. Cancer? No. Poison by oil? Interesting, good guess, but no, that's not the leading cause of death. Anybody else? Mosquitoes, the national bird. pardon me? Diabetes, nope. Mm-mm. Believe it or not, brothers and sisters, the leading cause of death in Alberta is suicide. Suicide. And when I read that, that blew my mind because, you know, you hear about all these accidents, like you were saying, you know, oil field accidents, and you always hear about all these different, you know, on Highway 2, different types of accidents. But the leading cause of death in Alberta, brothers and sisters, is suicide. So there are a lot of depressed people here in Alberta. And I think that is one of the places that we can, where Alberta's itching, that we can scratch. Amen? So more than just here in Alberta, there's some facts on depression that I'd like to share with you. Right now, it's the number one psychological disorder in the Western world, and yet it's still growing at an incredible rate. People of all ages, backgrounds, lifestyles, and nationalities suffer from major depression with few exceptions. Up to 20% of people experience the symptoms of depression, and the average age of the first onset of major depression is 25 to 29. And 10 times more people suffer from depression now than in 1945. I was reading a study that says in 2020, the World Health Organization is saying that depression is going to be the leading cause of complications in death by the year 2020. So this is one area where we can see a trend is happening, and I don't just see it as it is a bad thing, but we also have the opportunity as Adventists, because Dr. Nedley, an Adventist physician out of the United States, has prepared a program called the Depression Recovery Program. And this is a really effective thing that can be done, that can be put on in a community to reach out to people who are depressed. So we ran one of these in Quebec, in the secular land of Quebec. And it was an amazing thing, brothers and sisters, because here you have people looking at the workbook. And here you have some of the food that we prepared each night. I'm going to need some sound to be plugged in for a video that's going to come up. This is one of my friends who's from Saskatchewan. He's a biologist, and so he was there facilitating, and this is another one of our facilitators. And brothers and sisters, what was amazing was that we tried different types of evangelism, and many people would come and go. And actually, we would not get a lot of people. My former pastor, Pastor Adu, he was from Ghana, and he's used to 300 people being baptized in an evangelistic series. That was his average. He was like, yeah, if 300 people are baptized, that's okay. That's not bad, you know? But when he came to Quebec, he realized it was almost like, you know how there's a currency conversion? It's almost like a conversion, because when three people were baptized, he would be celebrating, you know, because of the difference in the society. But one of the things that happened was we had 30 people of all demographics come to our depression recovery program. In fact, AMI Quebec, which was the mental illness institute for Quebec, they actually were sending us people in the first shot that we did this because they were having so little success. And it was such a blessing because we actually had testimonies. People recovered from the depression, and we had two people baptized just from the depression recovery program. Amen? And that's in secular Quebec, where people do not respond to the gospel. I'm going to play you a little video which shares the testimony of two non-Adventists who actually attended the program, and they're sharing their thoughts with you in the video. Ready?
I just want to say how grateful I am that I found this program. And also, if you have other people that you know are sad or like shy, or try and get them when they do another program, because I feel it's needed. This is needed. Depression is a solitary disease. You tend to isolate yourself. And if you know anybody, try and bring them to the next one that they'll be doing. And I'm grateful that I passed. I don't know if I... May I say that when I first talked to Pekka, I couldn't believe that such nice people still existed. Not that I don't have much faith in humankind, but perhaps I just didn't have the chance to meet... that particular night, he said, well, somebody's going to come to your house and bring the books and you can do the test, etc., etc. And I thought, wow, it's pouring rain. Who would want to come out in this type of weather? And yet, I think it was Gabby who was willing to come and take her time. And Gabby and her sister have been very kind, and they have helped me to see the first three DVDs, which I had missed because I called late. So thank God for these people.
Amen. She said she didn't believe that people existed that were so nice. And friends, this is one of the things I believe that will happen as we engage in medical missionary work, as Ellen White describes it. But health evangelism, because when you think of the relevancy of Jesus' ministry, I just want to go there. Actually, I'm going to skip ahead for a second here. Just going to skip ahead. When you think of the relevancy of Jesus' ministry, the greatest event of Jesus' ministry was what? The greatest event. Just the cross. Thank you. Now, his 3.5 years of ministry were before that or after that? Before. So think about this, brothers and sisters. The greatest thing that Jesus is going to do is always what? Future. From when he begins his ministry. So how is he going to get to the cross and be a person that will die and people will care about it that he actually dies? What does Jesus do so that that happens? He makes friends with people, but he wasn't just making friends, brothers and sisters. He was healing people. In John chapter 6, verse 1, it says, after these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias, and a great multitude followed him because they saw his miracles, which he did on them that were diseased. Amen? And so, brothers and sisters, we as Seventh-day Adventists, the greatest event for Seventh-day Adventists, which is right in our name, is future, or has it already passed? Future, right? What event is that? The return of Jesus Christ. So how will we build interest in that future return. We have to do it the same way that Jesus did it, brothers and sisters. I believe that Jesus actually, there's evidence that Jesus healed more than he actually preached. And so as we engage, as we are interested in evangelism, we have to take note that Jesus was actually reaching out to people with their physical needs even more than just, or equal to their spiritual needs as well. And I'd like to read a statement to that effect. Ellen White makes two statements here that are of interest. She says, "The work in the cities is the essential work for this time. When the cities are worked as God would have them, the result will be the setting in operation of a mighty movement such as we have not yet witnessed." That's found in a book called Medical Ministry. And she says also that the medical missionary work is the way into the cities. But look at this. She says here, speaking of God's workers, they must be evangelists. They must be medical missionaries. They must take hold of the work intelligently. But it is of no use to them to think that they can do this work while they drop the work which God had said should be connected with the gospel. If they drop out the medical missionary work, they need not think they can carry forward their work successfully, for they only have half the necessary facilities. Surprising, no? Was that a surprise for you, brothers and sisters? No? Well, this is one of the things that Jesus is calling us to using. Not all of us are doctors, and God is not telling us to go out and get nursing degrees, etc. But there's something small that each of us can do when it comes to ministry. So cooking classes are another thing that we can do. Cooking classes are some of the easiest to set up, and they're simple and less complex than others. And they're very easy to run, and they quite often get the greatest response. How many of you have actually run a cooking class? No? No one's run a cooking class? That might be one of the first things that you may want to start in your church as an opening outreach, because in my experience, when we did our first cooking class, again in Quebec, we had over 30 people come to the cooking class, and we had to stop the number of people that could come into the class, right? People are always interested when food is involved. And so you may want to look at doing cooking classes. Those are very, very effective means of evangelism. Another one that you can take part in is the CHIP program. Has anybody here ever run a CHIP program? No one here has ever run a CHIP program. Okay. CHIP program, the word CHIP stands for Coronary Health Improvement Project. And it was started by Dr. Hans Diehl. And it is a program that's designed to help you if you're dealing with heart issues, cardiovascular issues such as hypertension, high cholesterol, heart disease, atherosclerosis, synonymous, diabetes. The CHIP program basically teaches you how to prepare your diets in a way so as to help those diseases and help fight those diseases and potentially eliminate them. So that is another one that you want to look at. It's really good because it really builds a support team, because as you continually, it's over a 10-week stretch, and as you continually eat together with different people, the people that you meet, people build these connections with you that they want to continue coming to the event or something like the event. And quite often it's very easy for people who've been coming to the CHIP program to bridge over into attending church or attending Bible studies. And so that may be something you want to look into. I'll be giving you the resources for how you can get involved in your own CHIP program at your church later on. So health expos. Health expos are very good events because they are one-day events. And in health expos, you have the possibility to meet a lot of people. We just did a health expo in the town of Leduc. And that was July 6th. And we just went and we set up the health expo in front of Co-op, the store, in the grocery store in Leduc. And we had over 40 people go through our health expo. And they all received invitations to the evangelistic series that we're doing starting this Sunday. So a lot of people were really excited about that. They said, hey, this is really, really interesting. We really want to, you know, come out and see what this is about. Why are you guys doing that? And that's one of the most interesting things that takes place, brothers and sisters, when you open up with health evangelism, because as we saw, Albertans spend they're only second only to Newfoundland, but Albertans spend second most on health in all of Canada. So when people see you doing something health related and you're doing it for free, what's the question that they're going to ask? Why are you doing this? Right? And when you're asked that question, you can tell them that as a Seventh-day Adventist, that before you want to see them in heaven, you want to see them in health. Amen? That's our intention. Jesus didn't just minister to the needs of the soul, but he also ministered to the needs of the body. And so this is one of our responsibilities, brothers and sisters. So health expos are excellent because they're very visible. As you can see, we're right in front of the store. Everybody could see the big banners. Oops. Everybody could see the big banners. And they were wondering what the banners were all about. And also one big perk is the free massage. You know, getting a free massage is very hard for people to say no to getting a free massage. So they will quite often go through the health expo. And there's one for children as well. So this is a really good thing to promote or put on at your church. Along with that, it is great as a leading event before evangelism, as we just said. So these are all effective means of health evangelism. And I just like to iterate, you know, sometimes we think that, you know, if a person's not necessarily healed or there's no miraculous healing, that the health message is not necessarily that effective. But I will say, I've actually experienced it where the health message wasn't just for those who were sick. My aunt is what she calls herself is an agnostic. And interestingly enough, my mom, you know, she's always trying to witness to my aunt. She's always sending her DVDs and books and materials. And my aunt, she's so nice. She doesn't say anything. She just takes it and doesn't say anything, you know? And recently, though, you know, she's never said any response to all the different talking that we had with my aunt. And she's always like, you know, why don't you become a Christian? And she was raised Catholic and she rejected Catholicism. But recently, about a few months ago, my mom received the strangest email from my aunt. And in that email, my aunt said, something really, really strange happened. She's in the Barbados, in the Caribbean. She had a friend that went to some sort of Adventist health meeting, and she had a terminal disease. I believe it was Crohn's disease, some sort of very, very, you know, very volatile condition. And she went to one of these health meetings put on by the Adventists, and she worked with a young gentleman down there. And after working with the young gentleman, I think it was a span of about a month or two, and the doctor said that the condition completely reversed. She's no longer terminal, and the disease is gone. And so she was completely healed, right? And so she's writing to my mom, and she says, I remember you mentioning that your son, Namiko, was involved in health evangelism. Is this the same thing that he was doing? Right? And you know, my mom wrote a response, and she's like, yes, that's the exact same thing, you know? And what was amazing to me, what that said to me, brothers and sisters, is that it's not about only those who are actually being healed, but the people around them will take an interest in ministry because of the children, the people that are healed. And so this is one of the reasons why we want to put this out there as one of the staples of Adventism. So it's quite important that we do this, that we share this with people, that this is a face of Adventism that is not as well known. Also because, how many of you have heard of the documentary Forks Over Knives? How many of you have seen the documentary Forks Over Knives? Okay. Well, Forks Over Knives is a film that basically just shows people, it shows you a lot about health, and it shows you how much can be done, just the radical power of lifestyle change when it comes to your health. Just making certain choices in your diet and stuff like that. And amazing things happen. And, you know, that movie's very popular and it's also trending. So a lot of the hip new youngsters will be into vegetarianism and veganism. And not only hip young youngsters, but also wealthy people wealthy people are very interested in this idea of health and staying healthy. And so this is one of the reasons why we believe that opening up and beginning your evangelistic outreach with health will lead to greater connections, because it's the thing that right now people are talking about and thinking about in the world. So just another text here. It says, "And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. And his fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought unto him all sick people that were taken with diverse diseases and torments, and those which were possessed with devils, and those which were lunatic, and those that had the palsy, and he healed them. And there followed him great multitudes of people from Galilee, and from Decapolis, and from Jerusalem, and from Judea, and from beyond Jordan." And so, brothers and sisters, once again, the great emphasis here that we see is that Jesus' preaching was powerful, but what was the thing that garnered people, drew people to him, was his healing ministry. And not all of us are doctors, not all of us are nurses, but Jesus is not calling us all to be doctors and nurses. But there's all of us have something that we can do to contribute to engaging in health ministry. Every one of us can invite someone to an event. The health expos that we just looked at, they're so simple. And actually, some of them are pretty fun. They're very simple things that you can do, that everybody can do, to take part in these different types of evangelism. So I believe that you will begin to see a strong sense of relevance in this type of ministry as you engage in it. Even here in North America, quite often we go overseas to, foreign countries, like Africa and India, and we see God work miracles, right? Have you heard many of those miracle stories? Has anybody heard any miracle stories from overseas? Okay, good. You're right. And quite often, the case is presented that those miracles happen only over there, right? And that was something that bothered me. And I was like, Lord, why is it that we only see, it seems like the Holy Spirit doesn't get through customs or whatever it is, you know? It just seems like the Lord doesn't get a chance to operate as out in the open as he does in some of these other nations. And the Lord showed me something very, very interesting, brothers and sisters, because we were back in Montreal doing an evangelistic series, and most of my experiences have been from Montreal. I hope that doesn't bother anybody. I'm an Albertan. I love Alberta. I've only been here about a year, so I'm still getting some new experiences here. But we were engaging in evangelism over in Alberta, and we had just ordered some study guides. And what we were going to do was an evangelistic series that had a health evangelism spin to it. What we would do is we would preach the sermons, and then at the end of the sermons, we had healthy smoothies that we were giving out to everybody. So we would sit and talk with people and sip the smoothies and ask them what they thought about the material at the end of the meeting, right? So that was kind of the pitch, and we were doing it in downtown Montreal. And in preparation to this event, we were just like, Lord, can you just speak to us? Show us that you're with us. And one day, before the evangelistic series, as we were preparing, we had ordered some study guides from Amazing Facts. And the study guides came, and we received them. And we needed more, but we couldn't really afford to buy more study guides. And then one Sabbath morning, I woke up, and then I was sick. And I'm like, this is so strange. Why am I feeling sick? I didn't eat anything. Nothing's wrong, but I'm feeling really, really sick. So I wake up that Sabbath morning and I'm like, I don't think I'm going to go to church because I'm almost incapacitated because of the stomach ache. And so I stay home that Sabbath, and I can almost count the number on one hand of times that I've stayed home from church on Sabbath. So I stay home that Sabbath, and then there's a ring at the doorbell. And so I'm like, ring at the doorbell? Who's ringing my doorbell Sabbath morning? Everybody knows we're not home. So I go to the door and I open the door, and it's the UPS guy. And I'm like, UPS? It's Saturday. What are you doing here? He's like, oh, I just have this package to deliver. And I said, package? What is it? And I look at the package, and it's a big box of study guides. Somehow, some way, Amazing Facts had sent us extra study guides, which we needed, but we didn't want to take them because we didn't order those, right, to be honest. So I was like, we need those study guides. And he's like, well, you just got to sign for it, and you just got to pay me the customs fee. And I said, well, doing the transaction on Sabbath, maybe I can go pick it up. But then again, These are not our study guides. We didn't pay for them. So we already got the ones that are ours. So you know what? You should send it back to Amazing Facts. Send it, just send it back to them. And so they said, you sure? And I'm like, yeah, just send it back. So they sent back the package to Amazing Facts. And on my email, I started getting the notifications about the whereabouts of the package. And what happened was, it says, package resent to sender. Then another email popped up and it says, package rejected by sender. And I was like, rejected by sender? Send it back to Montreal, send it over here, you know? So I started calling UPS and I'm like, hey, can you get them to send the package because they don't want it? I guess there's like a return customs fee. And they said, well, we'll see what we can do. And so they started working on it and working on it. And as we were working, we're just like, Lord, please intervene, make this package be released. And we worked on it for about 2 weeks, calling UPS almost every single day to get this package. And they were like, we're trying to find it. And then my buddy, Stephen, one morning, he's like, listen, I work at a shipping company. I have some inside connections to UPS. We'll see if we can get this package for you. So he calls that morning and he says, listen, I need you to find this package for me. Gets the tracking number. And they're like, ooh, it's been rejected by both parties. Once it's rejected by both parties, then the package goes to this nowhere zone where customs destroys it. And he's like, are you sure? And he's like, that's usually what happens. So he's like, try whatever you can do. So he calls the guy 3 times. And on the 3rd time, the guy said, listen, it's already past the 2-week limit. At 2 weeks, they destroy those packages. And so I'm sorry, friend, you won't get that package. And I said to him, Stephen, when he called me and told me this, he's like, I hate to give you the bad news, Namiko, but the package is destroyed. And so I was kind of sad about it, but then I said, well, Stephen, something happened that you didn't know about. And he's like, what's that? That morning when my mom got in her car to drive to work, she drove out of the driveway. I heard her drive out, and then she came back and she knocked on the door, and I said, ah, Mom, what'd you forget this time? Did you forget your keys or your, like, what'd you forget? And then she looked at me. She's like, I didn't forget anything. There's just this package on the front doorpost. And I literally looked down and I was like, what? And I literally did this. I looked down the street and then I looked up and I was like, thank you. And literally, brothers and sisters, about a half an hour later, the mailman drives by. And the UPS guy drives by, and I'm like, okay, that is strange. And brothers and sisters, to this day, I believe that an angel literally delivered that package on my front doorstep. I have a picture of it, and I wanted to show you, but I couldn't find the picture in time. And what that taught me, brothers and sisters, is that man's extremity is God's opportunity. When we do our best, that's when God can step in and do the rest. Amen? And so God right now, brothers and sisters, is telling us there is a picture of what the best type of ministry at this hour can look like. And it is combining health ministry with the preached word. As we engage in doing that ministry, that is heaven's highest priority. And that's when we see God will start to step in and do big miracles. Amen? I believe he will do miracles for us, brothers and sisters. But I believe that it won't come without us putting forward our best foot. And right now, God is telling us that health ministry in combination with the ministry of the word is one of the most effective means of evangelism. Some of the students here in the School of Evangelism, if the students of the School of Evangelism can just wave hands so everybody can see them, some of the students are here, and they've taken part in the Health Expo. And I just wanted to ask if any of them wanted to just come up and share the experience of taking part or a positive experience that you had in the Health Expo, just so people can kind of get a good example of what we're inviting them to. I mean, I know some of you went through the Health Expo. Would somebody like to come up and share, one of the students? Just for a couple minutes? Why don't you come up? Yeah, why not? Do we have a microphone here that can work? He's gonna bring you a microphone. You may want to come up here because they're filming. Yeah. Thank you, Wendy.
Yeah, so when we were in Leduc at the Health Expo, it was a lot of fun. That was probably the one thing that I got out of it the most, was how fun it was. But I was on the massage. We actually did two health expos. We did one in June, and then we did a second one in July, just because the first one was beside the church. And that one was a lot of fun, too. And that one was a little different for the fact that we actually had to go out and bring people into the health expo. Mm-hmm. And we had some really, really good feedback by doing that. We were right beside a movie theater. So when people are coming out of the movies, I was like, here, come on, and let's find out what your health age is. So it was a lot of fun. But one of the biggest takeaways that I got from doing the health expo in Leduc when we were in front of the co-op is that there's a lot of people. There was a lot of people going in and out of that store. And there was a lot of eyes turning our way, and not everybody came through. And, you know, even though people weren't coming through, I was still avid of handing them an invitation to the evangelist series. You know, people have a busy lifestyle. For someone to stop for 10 minutes to find out their health age, I still had to make sure they got their invitation to the evangelist series that we're going to be starting on Sunday. And, you know, it was just amazing to see how many people there was and how few of us there were. And that's probably one of the biggest things that I got from being in the School of Change, in the School of Evangelism, is the scripture where the harvest is great, but the laborers are few. And, you know, we're nine representing. We have a student that flew all the way from South Korea. We have just being at camp meeting, I met a young fella. He's here all the way from Alabama to come to CUC. And, you know, when I hear stories like that, it's so amazing to me to know that right in our backyard, I live in Central Alberta, I live in Sylvan Lake, I'm a mom with four children under 9 years old. And I go to school every day, and I go to the outreach, and we go knock on doors when we have to. And, you know, it was a 3-month commitment that's going to change the rest of my life. And the Health Expo, just being part of it, I can't wait until I can go out and lead it, because we need each and every one of you in your towns doing this. Mm-hmm. And you can do it with 2 people. You can do it with 20 people. We just need to get that out there, because people want the information. Mm-hmm. And everybody has a physical, mental, and a spiritual need.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you, Wendy. And thank you so much, Wendy. It's so quite often it's quite often a thing that is emphasized by the students, just how relevant it is. Because, you know, there was a time where we could knock on doors and we can say, hey, would you like a Bible study? And people would say, sure. Oh, I'm a Lutheran, or I'm a different denomination. But today, quite often, people have no biblical foundation. I remember in Montreal, you know, sometimes we would talk to people and we would say, okay, so do you remember when Moses was, and they're like, who's Moses? And we're like, wow, okay. Jesus, who's Jesus? Some young people, especially in this generation, know absolutely nothing about the gospel. So before we can tell them the stories, they have to see it enacted as we care for their health. Amen? And so this is one of the things that we're inviting you to. So, in closing, I'd like to just give you some resources that are available to you. Health Expo banners are available from the Alberta Conference to rent, if you're interested. We have them there, and if you call the Alberta Conference, Irma will make them available to you, to your church, to rent. Or if you're interested in purchasing your own Health Expo banners, you can go to www.healthexpobanners.com, and there you can order your own Health Expo banners to run your own Health Expo. Along with that, you can go to www.nedleyhealthsolutions.com to get the training for the depression recovery program. Dr. Neil Nedley, he is the one who put up that website. And on that website, you can find out the information there, how to do the training. Sorry if I'm in the way. But the training is available online, so you don't have to go anywhere to do the training. You can actually run through the entire training through your computer and be ready to run a depression recovery program. And also, health healthalberta.ca is a website where some statistics are available about health in Alberta. And you can actually look in your various communities to find out what issues are of interest to people in the smaller communities. You can go to StatsCan and you can see that, oh, in Leduc, they're dealing more with diabetes than hypertension. Or, you know, in Edmonton West, they're dealing with this more than this. And so you can kind of tailor what your evangelistic program or outreach will be for your specific area so you make a bigger impact. How many of you are interested in using health evangelism? Amen. Can you see that Jesus used it and there's an incentive there for us to use it, brothers and sisters? Amen? So I just want us in closing to maybe pair up in twos and just get together with somebody and you're simply going to ask God for how you can contribute to a healing ministry, how you can contribute to evangelism, and maybe in one of the ways that we talked about just now, but doing something that would not only touch a person's heart, but they would touch their physical body. And many of you have different gifts, different talents, and maybe you want to know how you can be involved. You can talk to me after, but first let's talk to God. So I'm just going to ask you just to, you know, say a two-minute prayer with somebody next to you and just say, you know, Lord, show us what we could do when it comes to what our talents are, what our gifts are, and health evangelism. So I'll just invite all of us to do that, and then I'll just close at the end with a prayer. Can I pray with you, man? Oh, are you gonna? No.